Yesterday was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and the Aruch HaShulchan points out that there's a major problem in the Nusach HaTfilah of the Musaf, that whenever you have Shabbos or Yontif, we always say in the concluding bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei, L'keinu 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 L'keinu, V'tzei B'mruch HaSeinu, then we add on, K'anshenu M'mitzu HaSecha, V'senchan K'enu M'sar HaSecha, so he points out that it's missing in the regular Sidurim. It's missing on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It says, well, the rest is missing. So he thinks that it's a mistake, Pashim, that the printers left it out. And he says, if you look in the Nusach HaTfilah of the Eidot HaMizrach, not Nusach Svar, the real Eidot HaMizrach, they have it. They have a whole paragraph. So he says that it should be added on to the Shmoneh Esrei. It's not really correct. I never heard this directly, but people told me that Rav Soloveitchik said the same. He thought that the Aruch HaShulchan was right, that you should say that added paragraph. When you have, when Rosh Chodesh is on a weekday, like today, so you read three, the Kriya Satorah is you read three different parshas. You read, Zaviz Bnei Yisrael, Matanus Kovani, Lachmi, Lihishai, Rechni, Chachi, the Oil of Stomit, then the Elaine of Yom HaShabbos is two psukim. The first one is how many? Is eight psukim, I think. Tomit is eight psukim, and the Shabbos is two psukim, and then Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, I think, is five psukim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you divide four aliyahs? On a normal Rosh Chodesh and Chalamad, you give four aliyahs. How do you divide four aliyahs? Because you can't stop within three psukim before a psukha or a stuma. So the eight psukim you can divide into two. You can't divide it into three. There are only eight psukim, so you divide it into two. Then if your mashab is only two psukim, then you can't stop in the middle of the five psukim. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, what are you doing? So we lay over a pasuk. So by us, whenever Rosh Chodesh falls out on the Shabbos, we don't lay the whole thing. We only lay the Yom HaShabbos because we lay the whole Kriyas HaTorah. You lay some of the other aliyahs on a regular. This was Shabbos Chanukah, so there were three Sifrei Torah. We'll get to that soon. But if it wouldn't be Shabbos Chanukah, it'd just be Rosh Chodesh Chalias B'Shabbos. So he gave already seven aliyahs from the Parshas HaShavua. And then the Maftar is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So the common practice is in Shulchan Aruch, Yilein of Yom HaShabbos, Rosh HaChechem. So the Rashash and the Gemara in Megillah points out that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish that even when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, you start from Tzavim HaMatam is Korban Elachmi L'Ishai. So he doesn't have any answer. He just points out that our practice, by the way it's described in the Shulchan Aruch, is against what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says not so. Yesterday, because it was a triple header, it was Parshas HaShavua, and we learn from Rosh Chodesh, and we learn from Chanukah. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, that you give six aliyahs in the Parshas HaShavua. So Shishi read all the way to the end. Then Shvi is when the second Sefer Torah you learn about Rosh Chodesh. And then the Maftar you learn from Chanukah, because you want to have the Haftarah is going to be about Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah is a Chanukah Haftarah of Chanukah. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you give six aliyahs in the Parshas HaShavua. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, this appears in the Sefer, Rav Shlomo LeVilna was a dayan in Vilna in the end of the 1800s when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia. He was the proofreader on the Vilna Shas. His grandson used to teach here in the yeshiva. When I was a student in high school, his grandson, Rabbi Markelis, used to teach. So he said the family tradition was that he was Magia, the Vilna Shas, from memory. Knew word for word what it's supposed to say in the Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos. And he didn't have to check against another edition because he knew every word that it's supposed to say. So that's why every so often there's a mistake in the Vilna Shas. It never appears in any other edition because he corrected it from memory. Anyway, so he makes the same diuk in his Sefer. Maybe Rav Soloveitchik heard it in his name. I don't know. In Shira, he didn't mention his name. Rav Soloveitchik said the same diuk as the Binyan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo LeVilna. When you have three Sifrei Torah, and you want to lain Rosh Chodesh from the second Sefer Torah. So if you're going to give Shiva Kurim, you're going to give, normally on the Shabbos you're allowed to make Kosofetz, you can make 15 or Aliyahs. In Broyers, they always make 15 Aliyahs in order to make more money. Whoever gets an Aliyah is a menad of money to the shul. So the question is, when you have a Shabbos on which you lay from three Sefer Torah, can you make Kosofetz? So the Diyuk of the Losh and the Shulchan Aruch is not. Shishi has to go till the end. You shouldn't make Shvi. Because if you're going to give seven aliyahs in the Parsha Shavua, then the Kriya of Chanukah will be Maftir. Maftir is a separate unit. But then the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh is going to be a Hoysofer. So from the Shulchan Aruch is mashma that that's not proper. A Kriya of Rosh Chodesh has to be from the Zayin Kruim, or it should be Maftir. But it's neither here nor there. It's not from the Zayin Kruim, it's just a Hoysofer. That's not right. That's a big Chiddush. That you shouldn't make Hoysofes on a Shabbos when you're laying three Sefer Torah, should make Hoysofes not because of Tircha de Tzibur, even if the Tzibur wants it, because the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh has to be either one of the Zayin Kruim, or it should be the Maftir. But if it's three Sefer Torah, and then the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh is neither going to be from the Zayin Kruim nor going to be from Maftir, that's not right. Today, that it's Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh, so you lay, you take out two Sefer Torah. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says that you're supposed to give, you give four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh. So the first three aliyahs are in Rosh Chodesh. So you don't have a problem about dividing up the aliyahs. When you're going to give all the four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh, then you have a problem. You have to repeat a pasuk. When you're only going to give three aliyahs, so it's not such a problem. You can give five psukim to the Kohen, then three psukim, eight psukim in Oilas Tomid. Give five psukim to the Kohen, then three psukim, and the next two psukim, the Yom HaShabbos to the Levi. Then Rosh HaShechem is five psukim, and then you lay the fourth aliyah from the second Sefer Torah. It's going to be Shulchanukah. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have a discussion, what's the din if they forgot that they're supposed to take out two Sefer Torah? They only took out one Sefer Torah, and they lay in Rosh Chodesh. They gave four aliyahs. So the Loshen of the She'iltis that's quoted by Tosfos is, Ein mashgichem shel Chanukah kol iker. If you forgot to lay in about Chanukah today, on Chanukah Rosh Chodesh, Ein mashgichem shel Chanukah kol iker, if you forgot. If you took out two Sefer Torah, though, and you already gave four aliyahs to shel Rosh Chodesh, then you realize that you were supposed to only give three, and you took out the second Sefer Torah. So then it says, even though normally on the weekdays you don't make Hoysofes because of Bittul Melocha, people have to go to work. In America, nobody goes to work on Sunday, but the Chacham Lam Sakhan, years ago, people went to work on Sunday. So you're not supposed to make any Hoysofes today. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that if by mistake you took out two Sefer Torah, And they gave all the four aliyahs b'shal Rosh Chodesh, but they took out the second Sefer Torah. So Mishum Pigoma shall Sefer Sheni. People shouldn't think that they realize the second Sefer Torah is puzzle. So you have to make a Hoysof, and you give a fifth aliyah, and you give the fifth aliyah is Shal Chanukah. So every year there are many different minyanim here. Every single year there's someone always comes with a shaila on the day of Chanukah. Rosh Chodesh, that falls out on a weekday, they made a mistake and they started laning for the Chanukah Sefer Torah first. What's the din? So there are all of three logical possibilities are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So there are more quotes from the Abu Dram that if they started the first aliyah b'shal Chanukah, he's supposed to give the first three aliyahs is supposed to be b'shal Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth aliyah is supposed to be b'shal Chanukah. So the Ramah says that if by mistake they gave the first aliyah to the Kohen b'shel Chanukah, it's a mistake, and you have to take the second Sefer Torah, do it all over. Even though they said a brocha l'atola, got to do it over, and you have to lay in b'shel Rosh Chodesh first, and then b'shel Chanukah. And the Taz is very unhappy about that Avu Dram. He says it's a shigig asayrua, you shouldn't follow that. But there's a further detail, machloikas. If by mistake he started to lay b'shal Chanukah, let's say today is the seventh day of Chanukah, b'yom HaShvi'i, so do you give, you started already, b'shal Chanukah. So b'riyevet l'chatchila, the Seder should have been first three aliyah b'shal Rosh Chodesh, and then one Bishal Chanukah. But if you start Bishal Chanukah, so if you're not going to follow the Ramah, so what should you do? So one opinion is that you give the one Aliyah Bishal Chanukah, the Yom HaShvi, then the next three Aliyahs you give Bishal Rosh Chodesh. The other opinion is no, that since you started Bishal Chanukah, so on a normal day of Chanukah, you give three Aliyahs. To give the three Aliyahs Bishal Chanukah, and then the fourth Aliyah will be Rosh Chodesh. So every year someone always comes at that shot. One of the 15 different minyan around here. So every year around Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, someone makes such a mistake. So that's three different opinions. Whenever you have Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says if a person forgot to say Yalav Yovin Birchas Hamazon on Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon, because even if a person benches on Shabbos and Yontem, and if he left out the Yalav Yovin, he left out the Ritzei, it's not that the din is that you're not Yotze the Birchas Hamazon, you're Yotze the benching, you're just not Yotze the Suda Shabbos. So the Chachamim were makel after eating a whole meal, instead of telling the Rai he wasn't Yotze the Suda, he has to start the Suda all over again, so they were makel to repeat the Birchas Hamazon again. But on Rosh Chodesh, there is no Chiyav Suda. There's an Issa Tainus, but there's no Chiyav Suda. So if one forgot to say Yalav Yovin on Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to bench over. So the Shaila is, the Tur has a machlokes with his brother. They're both children of the Rosh. So he quotes his brother's opinion is that when Rosh Chodesh Chalias b'Shabbos, then you are mechayev to have a Suda because of Shabbos. So even though Rosh Chodesh alone will not be mechayev you to have a Suda, but since it's Shabbos, you're mechayev in a Suda, so if you said v'tzeh and you forgot Yalav Yovin, you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like the Tur. That since Rosh Chodesh is not Mechayiv in Suda, even though today happens to be Shabbos for Rosh Chodesh, if one forgot the Yalav Yovin, he doesn't have to bench over again. Why does the brother of the Tur, I think Rabbi Yehuda, why does the brother of the Tur think you have to bench over? So the Pashtus says that he thinks that the two Kedushas Hayoms blend in together to constitute one big Kedusha Sayyam. The Shabbos Rosh Chodesh hyphenated, and not only is Shabbos Mechayim in Suda, is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is Mechayim in Suda. So the reciting of Yalav Yovin would be Li'ikuvim. It's a Chiddush. Usually if a person forgets Yalav Yovin B'Leil Shabbos in the Shemana Esrei, B'Leil Rosh Chodesh, usually, the Gemara said, B'leil Rosh Chodesh, one forgets Yalav Yovin B'Amarv, you don't have to daven over again. But if a person forgets Yalav Yovin the benching on Friday night, according to this opinion in the Tur, it could be that even on Friday night, you would be Ma'akev B'Yevit, because it's you have to have a Suda Shabbos, and Kedushas Rosh Chodesh and Kedushas Shabbos blend in to be one. So it could be that even B'Yevit, you wouldn't be Yotze the Suda. You would have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. The Gemara in Brochus and Shlosh and Shochlu has all the dinim of bench and mezuvin, has all the dinim of Birchas Hamazon in general. So the Gemara says, when one benches ala kos, if the person is a righty, he should hold the kos in his right hand. If he's a lefty, he holds the kos in the left hand. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if the person is nervous? Is he allowed to hold a little bit? Small, maushit to sayay ala yamin. He's really holding the cup of wine in his right hand, but he's nervous. So if he holds the right hand with the left hand like this, but the cup is held in the right hand, that's not a problem. But if he's holding the cup in his right hand and he touches the cup with his left hand to make sure that it doesn't spill, so that's a suffix in the Gemara. Small maushit sayeh bimin, the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion. So the Gemara says, since in the earlier generations they were mesupik about it, so we have to be machmer, you're not allowed to do it. So Tosfos asks on the Gemara, what's the big problem? What's so difficult to hold the cup in your right hand? So Tosfos says, the Gemara is talking about Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, that is the longest Birchas Hamazon of the year. That you have Alan Nisim of Chanukah is twice as long as Alan Nisim of Purim, and it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's Shabbos. It's such a long bench, and so the guy's nervous. He's afraid he's going to spill. So Tosfos says, that's the case in the Gemara. When I was talking about Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, that is the longest Birchas Hamazon of the whole year. Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered as a child, He was close with the other grandfather, with his mother's father, Rabelia Feinstein. That was Rav Moshe Feinstein's uncle. Rav Soloveitchik's mother and Rav Moshe Feinstein were first cousins. So Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, Rabelia Feinstein, was a rabbi in Prussian. So when he was growing up, he spent much more time with that grandfather. He visited Barab Chaim a few times. then the end, the last year of Rav Chaim, last 2 years of Rav Chaim's life, they were together in Warsaw. They were learning together every day. But in the earlier years, he visited on rare occasions. So he said, on one of those rare occasions that he visited, he remembers that Rav Chaim held the drasha, and he pointed out that in Allah Nisim, we say three expressions, Raptas Rivam, Dantas Dinam, Nakantas Nikmasam. The same three expressions appear in the bracha that we recite at the conclusion of Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says, the bracha that you recite before you read the Megillah, that you mechuyev to recite. That doesn't depend on the minhag amok. You say three brachas, say, on Mikra Megillah, Shos, and Nisim, and Shachyanim. But the bracha after Mikra Megillah is over, that depends on the minhag amok. So what is the nusach habracha? So it's the same three expressions. What does it mean, the three expressions that he said? Rav Chaim explained. Raftas rivam, harabis rivenu, is an expression when you have a din Torah between Reuben and Shimon. So the Baladinim present their arguments. They present their version of the story and their claim. I claim that you owe me money. You claim that you don't owe me the money. Whatever. So the Taver, the Nitva present their claim. So that's Raptas Rivam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts as a Baldin on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. Why does he act on behalf of the Bnei Yisrael as a Baldin? Let me say, Hadon is the Neno, the Rabbanu Shalom is the Dayan on the case. Then Hanukkah, Mystic Maseno, you have Shoftrim, the Shotrim titan, Shoftim are to judge the case, and Shotrim is to fulfill the psak of the Bezin. So Hadad is Dinaina, we understand. Dantas Dina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge. No Kemistik Masena, he's the Shoter. Not only is he the Shofet, he's the Shoter. Why should he argue out the case on behalf of Klal Yisrael Har? Raptas Rivam, Rabbis Rivenu, why does he argue out the case? Rav Soloveitchik said all the different suggestions that he remembered as a child from Rav Chaim. So one suggestion was that whoever attacks Bnei Yisrael is really indirectly attacking the Rabbanu Shel Olam. I think that's how he said from the Kuzari. I think it says in the Kuzari like that. That all of anti-Semitism, the Gemara says, why is it called Har Sinai? The real name was Har Chorev. Har Sinai Shem Misham Yarda Sina Lo Olam. Why is Yarda Sina Lo Olam? Because the Medrash says, the Gemara has this Sakarat, the Rabban Shalom offered the Torah to the Ummah Olam, and they said it's too difficult for human beings to observe the Torah. Then he offered it to the Jewish people. They accepted it, and more or less, we tried to observe it. Orthodox Jews tried to observe what it says to the best of our ability. So the Ummah Olam are jealous of Bnei Israel. They could have accepted the Torah. It is humanly possible. So their expression of anti-Semitism is really they're pouring out the anger against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the anger at the Rabbanu Shalom. So it could be that the Rabbanu Shalom is the Baldin. The Rabbanu Shalom functions as the Baldin, so he tightens. Then Rav Soloveitchik gave a second suggestion that the Gemara has a principle based on a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk Mishlei says, Psach picha lo ilim. If a person doesn't have the ability to speak, so those who do have the, let's say a guy's waiting online for something, and he won't be able to explain himself, so you should help him out. Explain to the one who's at the cash register, explain to the doctor what the problem is, help out the ilim. So psach picha l'ilim is a din in the Gemara in Cheskas Habatim, that's the din of Taininan. There's a din of Taininan l'yisaimim and Taininan l'lekuches. If the father had a din Torah, the father died, and then the children are yisaimim, they don't know what happened with the business of the father. But if they're muksak on the money, so the bezn advances the tainus on behalf of the yisoymin, and the same on behalf of the lekuchas. The lekuchas weren't involved in the halvoya in the first place. So since they don't know what to taina, they're la bar taina, so the din is that the bezn should advance the taina on their behalf. So the Bnei Yisrael don't even know what to taina. There's so many, the Ummah Sa'ilam did such kilkulim to the Bnei Yisrael, we don't even know what we lost. During the war, they killed so many tzaddikim, they burned so many svarim, they destroyed so many yeshivas, we don't even know how great the hefsid was. That was the second suggestion. I don't remember, I think Rav Soloveitchik said a third reason. I forgot already what the third explanation was, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu functions as the Baldin to Taina on our behalf. I think he gave a third pshat also. Why? At any point, then he said, Rab Chaim pointed out there's a Medrash on Bereshis somewhere, where the Medrash points out there's a contradiction between two psukim in Tanakh. One pasuk says, Nitzav Lariv Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands in the Din Torah, Nitzav Lariv Hashem. The other pasuk says that he's sitting. I forgot about the pasuk. So does he stand or does he sit? So the Gemara says, so the Medrash gives an answer. It depends whether he's judging Ummah Soil or is he judging Israel. So what's the teretz? What does it mean? So I think the standard Mefarshim say, when he's judging Ummah Soil, the Gemara has in the Dorim. When you go to a Bezin to make a Hataras and Dorim, is there a requirement that the Bezin should be sitting? Or can they do the Hataras and Dorim in a standing position? The Gemara says, it depends whether Poskim Becharata. If he can be Mata Neder Becharata, so it's 1, 2, 3. The fellow says, ach, he has Charata that he ever took the Neder. So it's easy, so that you don't need such, not such a Tzarchian Godel to do that. So that Bezin can do Bamida. But if the din is ain't Poskim Becharata, it's not proper to be Mata Neder based on Charata. You need Pesach. So Pesach, you have to have a Yishev Adas to figure out, is it really correct or not? Is there really a Pesach or not? So if you hold ain't Poskim Becharata, you need a Pesach, then the Bezin has to be Yeshiva. So I think the standard Mefarshim on the Medrash Rabba learn that when HaKadosh Baruch is judging the Umos HaOlam, so he judges B'daikonis and he sits the whole time. Mashenik, he's judging Menei, so he judges superficially Ba'amida. In standing position, so it's 1, 2, 3. So I think Rav Soloveitchik said the name Rav Chaim, a whole different interpretation. That's not the reason why. He says, when he's judging B'nai Yisrael, when he's judging the Ummah Sa'ilam, so the Rabbeinu Sha'ilam, if it's a dintar between B'nai Yisrael and Ummah Sa'ilam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu functions, it's Ravdas Rivam. So he judges, he functions as the Baldin. He advances the Taina on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the din is the Baladinim have to be Bamida and the Dayarim have to be Yeshiva. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging a dintar between B'nai Yisrael and Ummah Sa'ilam, so he stands at the beginning of the case because he's the one who's presenting the arguments. And then if he's just judging that, Ummah Soilam versus B'nai Yisrael, just judging Ummah Soilam, then he's functioning as a Dayan. Then he sits. That was Rav Chaim's suggestion. That was his interpretation in the Rambam. That was his interpretation in this Medrash. We have a meaning that we recite Mizmah Shir Chanukah Sabayis Lidovin on Chanukah, because on Chanukah they had to make a new Mizbeach. The Gemara says, the Mishnah has like that, and they had to make a new Menorah. So whenever you make a new Mizbeach, whenever you make a new Menorah, so the Mishnah is having Menachas that you have to do in Mechanchlan Samnor El B'neiris Bein Harbayim. In Mechanchlan Samizbeach El B'tamit Shal Shachas. So they had to have a Chanukah Samenorah and Chanukah Samizbech. But you look at Mizmah Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, a lot of times when there's a Choyle, so they want to say Tehillim in the base Medrash, so they'll pick that one. Because Mizmah Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, David HaMelech says he was sick, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him recover. Shivati Elech Vatir Poeni, you healed me. He says, don't let me die, give me refuah shleima. So we often pick this perek in Tehillim to recite when someone is sick. So what does this have to do with Chanukah Sabbat? It's very unclear. Why did David HaMelech compose this in connection with Chanukah Sabbat? So they have printed in the name of Rav Elbala Soloveitchik that he said the pshat is based on a passage in the Yalkut Shemayni. Yalkut Shemayni says that the Novi gave David HaMelech a Megillah B'Ksav with the layout of how the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be constructed, the blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. And then David HaMelech chose where it should be, the Dinas L'Shich Nesidushu Uvas HaShama. You have to try to figure out, Tamid HaChacham have to try to figure out on their own where they think that Beis HaMikdash should be built. And after they think it through and they choose a place, then they have to consult a Navi. So first, David HaMelech thought they should build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Ittim, which is the highest elevation above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. He thought the Ramim is basically the Shena. Basically, should be the highest elevation above sea level. And then the Navi, he consulted the Navi. The Navi told him, no, it's better. Bank Sefob Shechem. Not on top, a little lower down. He should build the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. So David HaMelech prepared it. And then he wanted to build the Beis Hamikdash whenever he was victorious in battle. He would always take all the precious metal, says in Tanakh, and he would designate, he would be Magdash it for the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash. Then when it came to the punchline, he wanted to build the Beis Hamikdash, the Nabi tells him, Dam Rab Shafachta, you killed a lot of people, you can't build the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash has to be a Makam Shalom. You have a son, his name will be Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo, he'll be a Nishalom. He'll be the one to build the Beis Hamikdash. So the Megillah Biksav that he was given by the Navi had to be transmitted by Amida. That's what the Yalkut Shemayni says. Just like when you makar karbonis, you have to be makar karbonis in a standing position. And the Mishnah says in Zvachim, if the kohen shechts a behemah in a sitting position, shchita lav avodah, you don't even need a kohen. So if he does it, the yeshiva, it won't be possible for the Eved. He's not allowed to sit. There's a nisa, ein yeshiva bazor, el el malchei beis David levad. Not allowed to sit in the Azara, unless you're a melech from the malchei beis David. So you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. But for the Eved, if you sat, it doesn't pass all the karbonis by the shechita. But if you do kabbalah halacha zrika, if you do the other avodas b'yeshiva, it's possible. So transmitting of the Megillah b'ksav, it's a pasuk the Gemara in Chulin, in the first daf in Kisi Adam, the Gemara quotes that pasuk from Deir Hayam HaKol Biksav Me'ar Hashem Alay Haskil. Everything was Biksav, given to David HaMelech by the Novi, and then the Medrash, Yalkut Shemayni Adzan, had to transmit that Ba'amida to his son. So he was so sick he couldn't even stand up from the bed. So he thought that's going to be the end of the whole plan, of the whole, all the preparations that he made for Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's all going to go down the drain because he has to transmit it by Amida to his son. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokai Shivate Lecha, Vatipu'eini, Mabetza B'dami B'riditi Al Shachas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered his prayers and he was able to get up off the bed and to stand up. So when he's able to stand up, he right away gave over the Megillah B'Ksav to his son, Shlomo HaMelech. So that's what saved it. The fact that he had refuah and he was able to stand up, that's what saved the plan that the Navi had given him. HaKol B'Ksav Mi'ad Hashem Alei Haskel. So that's what Rabbi explains. This is why Mizmish HaChanukah Sabayis L'Dovin speaks about the refuah. Because if not for the fact that he had the refuah, he wouldn't have been able to transmit it to his son. Interesting. Like this, we don't understand at all. he thinks that this is the pshat. Yesterday, whenever you have Shabbos for Shchodesh, so there's a machloikis in the Gemara by Maimon Adlikin in the Sugya of Chanukah. What is the nusach that you recite at the conclusion of the Birchas HaTorah? In the Musaf Dikah Shmoneh Esrei of Rosh Chodesh Chalias b'Shabbos, Zeh Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Rashei Chodashim. What's the nusach HaBracha in the HaTorah? Because the Haftarah you're mechuyev to say mitam Shabbos, not mitam Rosh Chodesh. If it would be Rosh Chodesh Chalias Bechol, you wouldn't have any Haftarah. But it happens that it is Rosh Chodesh. So should you say Mekadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Rashei Chodoshim? Or do you say no? Since Rosh Chodesh is not mechuyev in Haftarah, so you just say Mekadesh HaShabbos. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes Amoraim. And then the Gemara comes to a maskana, but there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the maskana? So everybody knows when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we don't say. We just say Mekadesh HaShabbos. We don't say that nusach. So it's the same in the Gemara. It's the same machlokes when you have Shabbos Chol HaMoed. The Gemara does not distinguish between Chol HaMoed Pesach and Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Well, it has the same machlokes. Mitam Shabbos, you mechuyev to say a haftorah. Mitam Chol HaMoed, there's no haftorah. So when you have Shabbos in the Musaf Dikah Shmoneh Esrei, on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, you're going to say Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael VaHazmanim. But the Shabbos is what about by the Birchas HaTorah? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Then it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the maskana? So Halacha Lemaisa, just like on Rosh Chodesh, nobody follows Rashi. Everybody follows Tosfos. You say Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Rosh Chodesh Chol Yis B'Shabbos. So Shabbos Chol HaMoed should also be the same. Which is the same Mekadesh HaShabbos. So the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Sefer Hagos Ben Hagen. There's a Sefer Ben Hagen Rabbi Isaac Tirna. Tirna, I think, is a city in Hungary. So he wrote down all the Ben Hagen. So the Rama quotes a lot from the Menhagim of Rabbi Isaac Tirna, and for the Ashkenazim. The Sfarim don't follow these things. And then there's the Hagos Menhagim. So the Hagos Menhagim on the Sefer by someone else, not by Rabbi Isaac Tirna. The Hagos Menhagim writes that the meaning is to distinguish that on Shabbos Chalamayt Sukkos we say Kadesh HaShabbos Yisrael HaZmanim, Shabbos Chalamayt Pesach he don't say. Why should it make a difference? The Gemara never made a distinction. So he said, because on Sukkot, Chalukim, the Korban is same. Every day you bring a different kind of a Korban. So therefore, it's different. So the Gemara has that difference when you get to reciting Halal Shalom. Every day on Sukkot, because Chalukim, the Korban is same. So there's a chiv to recite Halal every single day. But on Pesach, it's not Chalukim, the Korban is same. So the Gemara has this distinction, Chalukim, the Korban is same, with respect to reciting Halal every day. So Rav Soloveitchik said, others write this Hesber as well. Rav Soloveitchik explained Poshib Shatas like this. Chalukim b'korban nesei means, if you look in Parshas Pinchas, every day of Pesach has its own Parsha. B'yom HaSheni, b'yom HaShlishi, b'yom HaRivka. Not Pesach. Every day of Sukkot has its own Parsha because the korbanos are different. Not that variety is the spice of life. Every day of Sukkot has its own Parsha. Every day is a separate Kedusha Sayyim. Each Kedusha Sayyim is Mechayiv and Simcha. And the Ramban explains that the Mechayiv to beside Halal is Simchas Yontif, the Simchas Aguf, and Simcha Lebevasa B'yayin, and then Simchas HaNefesh is reciting Halal. So because Sukkot is Chaluk and Mekorban is same, and every day has its own Parsha, it means each and every day is a separate Kedusha Sayyim. Every day he has a separate chiyuv and simcha. Masheni came Pesach. It's not chaluk and b'korban the same. Doesn't mean variety or not variety. It means all the 7 days of Pesach is one long dusha sayyam for 7 days. That's how it ends up. Kachu tasalayim shivas yamin. You bring the same korbanos. It's all in one parsha. All the korbanos are one parsha. So it's one long dusha sayyam that extends for 7 days. So there is no chiyuv each and every day to be mechayiv to be said how. There's one chiv to recite Halal once during the duration of Pesach. So the best time to say is on the first day. Then it comes Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. We treat it like Sveika D'Yomim. Maybe we were Yotzei yesterday, maybe not. So say again. But Rav Soloveitchik said he heard from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik. Let's say a person was in the intensive care unit the first couple of days of Pesach, and then he's not in a condition to daven, and then he's healthy later on Chalamai Pesach. The first opportunity that he has, that he's healthy enough to say Halal Shalom, is Mechayiv to say Halal Shalom. It's not a dinyan Mechayiv to say Halal Shalom on the first 2 days, and the rest of the days he say Chatzi Halal. Mechayiv to recite Halal once during the duration of the 7 days of Pesach. It's one long Yom Tov, unlike Sukkot, that each day is a separate Yom Tov, because each day has its own Parsha. Chaluk and B'korban the same means each day has its own Parsha. Pesach, it's one long Kedushas Hayom. So there's a Mechayiv to recite Halal once during the course of the long Yom Tov of Pesach, the 7 days. So preferable to say the first day. Then the second day is a Sveik of the Yom. And maybe yesterday was Erev Pesach. So he's saying the second day. But if you didn't say the first 2 days, you have a chiv to say Halal Shalom. Whenever you have the ability to, the first available opportunity. So that's where it makes sense when you get to Halal. But to say over here, what has it got to do over here? To say, that's why in Shabbos, Chalamayt Sukkos, he's saying, Kadesh on Shabbos, we saw the Hazmanim. In Shabbos Chalamayt Pesach, you should not say. It doesn't, the Svarah of Chaluk and B'Van Hashem doesn't play a role over here. It's a machlekes in the Gemara, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, Balamon, and Ramah. What is the maskana? So we know what the maskana is. On your Rosh Chodesh Cholias B'Shabbos, we don't follow Rashi, we follow Tosfos. You say Mekadesh on Shabbos. So the same should be true on Shabbos Chalamayt Pesach and Shabbos Chalamayt Sukkos also. That's what they quote from the Gro. The Gro said you shouldn't follow that Ramah. It's against the Gemara. Shabbos Chalamayt Sukkah should be the same as Shabbos Chalamayt Pesach. Should be the same as Rosh Chodesh Chodesh B'Shabbos. You should just say Mekadesh on Shabbos. Remember, I was once in London on Sukkot. So there used to be yeshiva there, closed down already. Schneider's yeshiva. The Yisrael Moshe Schneider. He had a yeshiva. So the Rosh Yeshiva told the Gabbai whoever you give after to, tell them you shouldn't say Mekadesh HaShabbos Mitzvah Vazmanim, you should say Mekadesh HaShabbos. So halfway through the Kiryas HaTorah, the Gabbai walks over to the Rosh Yeshiva, he tells them everyone's afraid to take Maftir, they don't want to go against it. It says in the city, you don't say that. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, I'm not afraid of the printer, give me Maftir, I'll say. So he said the Nusach HaGro. They didn't always, there are a lot of things for the Nusach HaGro that we don't follow. Some of the things became accepted in the yeshivas and in Europe, in the Lithuanian yeshivas, but not all the things. But this, the Rosh Yeshiva felt that this was mamash wrong, because based on the Gemara, that's what it says. The Ramban al HaTorah has a famous comment. He says that the fact that the Chashmonoim were Kohanim, and they appointed a melech for the Chashmonoim, he has the expression, Hashmonoim Chaside Elyon, the holy tzaddikim, but since they violated this din, so that's where the Malchus was doomed to failure, and then in the end they lost out because they violated the din. Leyosu Shevet Miyehuda, Yaakov Avinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu, they both said that the Malchus has to stay in Shevet Yehuda. So this is a Rabban Achumish has like this. So Rab Soloveitchik used to point out every year from the Rambam is mashma not so. Because the Rambam writes that there was a Muhammad, and then the Midu Melech Min HaKohanim, and the Rambam sounds like he says, Midu Melech Min HaKohanim, that's part of the Yichas, that's part of the Maila, that's they made a Yonta because they appointed a Melech from the Kohanim. If that part is an Avera, so why does he write that in the description of the story? That's why they establish a Yonta. Where did the Rambam get this from? The Hamidah Melech is part of the part of the Yeshua. So I think Rav Hutner has in his Pachad Yitzchak, he says because the Loshen and the Braise and the Gil HaSteinitz, which the Gemara quotes in the Sugyat Chanukah, is the Keshugover Malchus Chashmenoi. The Gemara says when the government, the Gemara should have said when the Chashmenoi were victorious in battle, then they made a menorah and they lit the candle. It says the Keshugover Malchus Chashmenoi. So it sounds like the Hamidu Malchus is part of the Yeshua. Why should that be a Maila? The din is Taki, not supposed to appoint the Melech from the Kohanim. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested the fact that they appointed the Melech from the Kohanim, because the Kohanim were the rabbis, they were the religious leaders. Their job is to pass on all the Shailas, the Kohanim and Levim. So there was a religious government. It wasn't a secular government like now in Eretz Yisrael. It was a religious government. So they were instrumental in instituting more religious observance in Klal Yisrael. So that's why the Rambam thinks that that was part of the Yeshua. So that's a famous Ramban al HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Rambam does not agree. Because the Rambam sounds like he says, Hamid HaMelech Mel HaKohanim is part of the Maila, part of the Yeshua. That's why we celebrate. The Gemara in Kiddushin, and Daf Samach Vav, the Gemara tells us that the Chashmonoim lived in Modin. So a few generations, they lived in Modin. So there's a Rambam in Hilchas Klei HaMikdosh, when the Rambam writes that you have to appoint a Kohen Gadol, and the function of the Kohen Gadol is to wear Bidikuna all day long, and to be in the Beis HaMikdosh, to supervise our Krovos Kol HaKorbanos. That's where Abchaim pointed out from an Haftorah, Roni B'Simcha, yesterday's Haftorah, V'atot Tishmar Es Chatzeiroi, that is the role of the Kohen Gadol to supervise all the Hakrovos HaKorbanos. So the Rambam says that the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim. Why does he have to live in Yerushalayim? Where did he get that from? So it's unclear. So the Menchas Chinuch writes, he always wondered, where did the Rambam get it from? So he quotes a suggestion that one of his Talmidim made. He quotes him by name. The name didn't register by me, so I don't know if he was a prominent rabbi later on. Never heard of him. So he says, this Talmud suggested that there is a din of lino. Whenever a person brings a carbon to the Beis HaMikdosh, even a private carbon, the din is a fanis rabaka b'halachta lo halacha. You have to sleep over in Yerushalayim and then go home the next day. So the Kohen Gadol has to be makriv karbanos every single day. He brings chavit to Kohen Gadol, machtzisa bebeik, machtzisa bein abayim. He brings half in the morning, half in the evening. He doesn't have to be makriv it, but it's karban on his behalf. It's kosher the Kohen Hedyot, but he has to pay for it because he's the bala karban. It has to come from his pocket, has to come from his money. It's not purchased. The korban is sibra paid for from machzah shekel money, but the chavit in kain godel, that's a private korban yochid. So the Minchas Chinuch quotes this from his Talmud. So since the kain godel is a bala korban every single day, it brings chavit to kain godel in the morning and the evening, so he has to sleep over. The only time he can leave in Yerushalayim is in the morning. Panisa baboyka ba'alachta ba'alecha, after sleeping over in Yerushalayim, after doing lina, he can go take a stroll, then he can come back before they bring the chavit and kain godel in the morning. But it doesn't leave him too much time. It's a window of opportunity to go stroll outside Yerushalayim. But he has to sleep in Yerushalayim every day. So the Minchas Chinuch establishes that Rambam, he says, the Rambam says, b'feirush, kain godel has to live in Yerushalayim, he has to have an apartment. So how can it be? It says, Matasur ben Yochanan and kain godel lived in Modin. How can it be he lived in Modin if he was the kain godel? So that's really a question. When you say Matisod Yochanan kain godel, who is the kain godel referring to? Is it referring to Yochanan or is it referring to Matisyo? Matisyo lived in Modin. It could be the Reisha Rav has in his sefer. Baron Levine was killed by the Nazis. His grandson, Aaron Levine, used to teach here economics. He was my first cousin. He was the head of economics here. So the grandfather has in his sefer this, he discusses this. Who was the kain godel? Could well be that it was Yochanan. The Mishnah says, "Hatama miyatzmacha ad yoy moscha," because there was Yochanan kain godel was a mamin for 80 years. He functioned as a kain godel. And at the end of his life, he became a tzeduki. So some say they're not sure whether that's the same kain godel, Yochanan kain godel over here or not. But many are assuming, the Bnei Yisoschar writes about that. Is it the same Yochanan kain godel mentioned in the Al HaNisim, or is it a different Yochanan kain godel? Could be that there were two kain of gadolim with the same name. There are many kain of gadolim in the Bai Sheni. The Gemara said there were over 400 kain of gadolim in the Bai Sheni. They didn't last too long. But he was a kain godel for over 80 years. So so some say that Yochanan was the kain godel, and he lived in Yerushalayim. Matisyo lived in Modin. Because if Matisyo would have been the kain godel, that's not right. He's not supposed to be living in Modin. He's supposed to live in Yerushalayim because of the din of Lina. Many assume.
Why can't he live at night?
Why
can't he live at night?
Whenever a person brings a korban, so you have to have lino, you have to stay over in Yerushalayim overnight. So the kain godel every single day of the year is a bala korban. He doesn't have to actually do the hakrava. The din is if Yisrael brings the korban to the Beis HaMikdash and Kana Mamakrevit, so the Yisrael has to stay overnight. So the kain godel every single day is a bala korban. Very often he won't be makrevit himself, but he pays for it from his pocket. The korban is often on his behalf. So then the din is, then he needs lina. So he has to have an apartment in Yerushalayim. He has to stay over. He can leave in the morning when he wakes up before they bring the chavit to kain godel in the morning. But it doesn't leave him too much time. So the male has to sleep in Yerushalayim. He has to have an apartment in Yerushalayim.
By the time he brings the korban, you can't leave in the afternoon and come back to sleep. Once you bring the korban, you have to stay straight.
I think so. I think that's what the Mincha Chena assumes. Not just lina balayla. You have to stay in Yerushalayim the whole time. I think so.
And every korban that's
carried
has a din of lina. All korban
so a din of lina. A korban yochid. Whenever yochid brings a korban, so he has a mitzvah of lina to stay over. Yeah. The book of Maccabees. We're not sure who wrote the book of Maccabees. We have the Hebrew translation from the Greek, which could be a translation of something else, and we're not sure who wrote the original thing. So it's not that reliable. It's very questionable. So there are those who had the mistaken impression from the book of Maccabees that until the days of the Chashmonaim, they would never wage war on Shabbos. They didn't have the din that pikoch nefesh as derech Shabbos. Because in the book of Maccabees, they tell a story that the Hasidim, the Kanoim, were hiding out in a cave, and the enemy came to attack them on Shabbos, and they didn't respond. And they wiped them out. They killed everybody out. Until Matisyo heard about this, so he tumbled. What do you mean? Pikach nefesh. So you have to go to fight. So that's very, what a crazy. And when a woman would give birth, and the Salman is when the Torah was given at Har Sinai on Shavuos. So there were 40 years. They were in the midbar of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody fasted on Yom Kippur, and half of them dropped dead. The people, if you fast on Yom Kippur, you're going to die. On Shabbos, you have to sometimes be Mechal Shabbos. You have a baby. No one got sick. From the days of Maimon Hasina till the days of the Chashmonaim. How can it be? That's unreasonable. They always allowed people to drop dead, so the Pashtus, that's not the Pshat. That din pikoch nefesh is decha kola tarkula, that was from day number one. They had every Shabbos. Forget about Yom Kippur. Before it came Yom Kippur, the Torah was given on Shavuos. Before it came Yom Kippur, they had every Shabbos, you have to say pikoch nefesh is decha. There was a detail in Hilchas Melchome that if a person is a chayla, sheyesh b'sakana, see mechal Shabbos, till the sakana is over, then it's fine. And in soldiers in the army, if you have a battle, you can, even if you won the war, you don't know for sure that, you don't know all the secrets of the enemy. So it could be that they have other soldiers, another battalion is coming. So in a Shas Melchome, there's a bigger heter of the Pikoch Nefesh. They added on some heterim. Because it's suffix sakonis nefashis asek sveikav sakonis nefashis decha shabbos. But it's not that the din of pikuach nefesh decha shabbos was developed in the days of the Chashmonaim. It's very not mistabit. That's what Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria has a long essay on this topic where he disagrees with those people who claim to be historians who made up a whole story that the het to pikuach nefesh was invented in the days of Matas Yahu. He thinks that it's absolutely not mistabit at all. It doesn't make any sense at all. There's a passage in the Rakeach. The Rakeach is from the later Bali HaTosfos. So he has an Anchumish. He has a lot of things based on Kabbalah. Had a lot of Kabbalistic ideas. So one of them is that at the end of Parshas Emor, that the Parshas Amoados appears three times in the Chumash. Emor, and in Pinchos, and in Re'ei. So in the end of Emor, you have all the Yom Tovim. And right after the Yom Tov, moreover, then it has the din. After Sukkot, Zavas Bnei Yisrael Yitchei Lech Hashem and Zay Zoch Kos Islam Al Halas Ner Tomin. It has right away about Hadlok Hashem and Erem. So the Rekech writes, based on Kabbalah sources, that the Smichas HaParshias, after all the Yom Tov, then you have Hadlok Hashem and Erem. This is Tamim Ramiz, that there's going to be another yantiv that the Chacham are going to introduce way later that has to do with Havlok HaSamaner. Okay, so that's a famous comment from the Rekech, that there's a remez in the Chumash for the yantiv of Chanukah. There is a pasuk in Tilim, I think it's in Kuf Yutes, in the Tmanya Api, we have the whole, you have eight psukim that begin with an aleph, and you have eight psukim that begin with a base. Eight psukim that begin with a gimel and so on. So under the letter ayin, you have the pasuk arachti ner lemeshichi. What does that mean? So in the Chassidish Svarim, they suggest that hadlokas hamenor on Chanukah is a preparation in advance for the bias hamashiach. Why so? Because in the beginning of Chagai, this we spoke about a little bit last week, the beginning of Chagai, the Gemara in Yuma says that Kodesh Baruch was angry at Bnei Yisrael because when it came the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, the Ruba of the Jews didn't want to return to Eretz Yisrael. Most of the people stayed, all the religious people stayed behind. And those who went back to Eretz Yisrael were the Asori Yuchsan, all the Mibavel, they had the Shvacha Yichas. The Mamzerim and the Chalolim and the Geirim and the Balei Tshuva and the Sofik Mamzer, the Shtuki, the Sufi. And the Gemara says that the Jews in Babel had the bigger Yichus. A Priya came from Babel to learn by Rabbi Yudah Nasi, who was a family living in Eretzel for a long time. Rabbi Yudah Nasi wanted him to meet his daughter. So Rabbi Priya wasn't interested. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi tells his student, Rabbi Priya, my Torah is kosher, my daughter is not kosher. So he didn't say anything, because the Jews from Babel didn't want to marry the Jews from Eretz Yisrael, even though that was his Rebbe, because they had a lower level of Yichus. The Yichus was questionable. They considered the Jews from Babel considered all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, Sofik Mamzer, Sofik Psule Kohol. So the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk Shir Hashirim, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he already knew that it was Osed Lehecharev, because they were told, that's what it says in Tehillim, and in Yecheskel it says Beferish, that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeragma, they were told already that there's going to be a Golus, and the first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. So Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, knew that it's going to be destroyed. He just was wondering whether the second Beis HaMikdash, which will be built at the end of the 70 years of Golus Babel, will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash, will that one also be doomed to destruction? So he said, Baruch HaKadosh, Imchaimahi, Nivna Lehatiras Kesev, and Delisei Notzah Lalu Achoret. Those are two psukim in Shir HaShirim. So the Gemara has this an additional, as an additional level of interpretation. This is not Pshuto Shal Mikha. Imchaimahi, Im Yaluk HaChaimah, if at the end of the 7 years of Golas Bavel, all the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, then Nivna Lehatiras Kesev, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like it's made from metal. Just like the metal doesn't rot, so too the Beis HaMikdash will not rot. The second Beis HaMikdash will be lasting. It won't be destroyed. And number two, Bnei Yisrael won't rot. Rot will not set in by Bnei Yisrael. We'll continue to have Nevi'im. However, in Delasi, if Dalas Ha'am will come, it will be a Shvach Aliyah, which there was 44,000 Jews. The millions of people stayed behind. They didn't go back there. It's Yisrael. Just a handful of Jews. And the Pesukim say in Ezra that the whole purpose of coming back to Eretz Yisrael was to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to bring Karbonis. So he stopped by the river and he said, how many people are Levim? So he said, not enough Levim to run a Beis HaMikdash. He told everybody to wait here. He had to schlep more Levim. He went back to Babel, he got more Levim. So it was a Shvach Aliyah. So Shlomo HaMelech said, Baruch HaKadosh, Mdelesi, Natsu Alelu Achoriz, the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut. Just like wooden buildings, harekeb sholot bo, the wooden building will rot away, so too the second Beis HaMikdash will rot away, and rot will set in Klal Yisrael, that there won't be any more Nevi'im. The Ribbono Shel Olam punished Bnei Yisrael, not going to send any more Nevi'im. But the Gimel Nevi'im, all the Imam Mibavel, they had to send free Nevi'im, because that's halacha. You can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from Nevi'im. So each one of the Nevi'im, Chagas Chai Malachi, each one of them gave a nevuah about a different detail of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Gemara says. These three Nevi'im, Chag Zchar Malach, they were all together. Ezra is very strange. Ezra only refers to Chagai and Zechariah. How come he never refers to Malachi? According to the Gemara's tradition, they were all in the same generation. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara says, Ezra is a Malachi. He had two names. He was the same person. He's not going to mention his own name. He says, my two associates are Chagai and Zechariah. He was Malachi. That's what the Radak points out in his commentary. How did the Chazal know that Ezra is Malachi? Because Ezra is referring to Chagai and Zechariah, never refers to Malachi. And they were all together. So it must be that he was Malachi. So these three Nevi'im were necessary. More than that, the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want to send any more Nevi'im. So the Malachi is the last of the three, so he signs off at the end. Zichra Taras Moshe Abdi, at the end of Malachi. He says, Zichra Taras Moshe, you better keep the mitzvahs because I'm the last Navi who's going to be sent before Eliyahu Navi, who's going to come before Mashiach. The Gemara says, in Erev, the day before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi will come to say Benevuah that tomorrow Eliyahu Navi is going to, tomorrow Mashiach will appear. So Malachi signs off. So they knew that the second Beis HaMikdash was Osed Lehecharev, and there were so many things missing. That's why it says in the Pasuk in Chagai, the Navi says in the name of Ribbono Shel Olam, this is my desire to build a Beis HaMikdash. Erzabo, this is my desire. Yikovda, I will be honored by your building me a Beis HaMikdash. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, so the word Yikovda is missing a hey. It's written Yikoved. And it's a kriya ksivi, read it b'ikavdo. So the Gemara says, why don't you just read it b'ikaved? It's good the way it is. Why do you say it's a kriya ksivi, b'ikavdo? The Gemara says, no. Elo chamisha dvam shehoye chaser mebay sheni. The missing hay represents the fact that they were missing five major things in the bay sheni. So the Gemara in Yuma, the first pair, gives you a list of which of the five things that were missing. Then on the side of the page, Rabbi Kevega tells you, look in a certain medrash, but it's a different list. You're looking back at the Gemara, the Yifei Naim always gives you cross-references to Yerushalmis and to Midrashim. So there's a long list of many things that were missing. Each list has a different list. Each source has a different list. What were the five things that were missing? The many things that were missing. So the people, the old-timers who remember the first Beis HaMikdash were crying. How does this compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? Missing so many things. So the the Nevi'im, all three Nevi'im deal with the same thing. Ezra and Haggai in Zechariah, they all deal with the same thing. That they were told that God liyakvod abayis hazeh hachmen arishon. That this second hyphen, third Beis HaMikdash, that's how the Zohar interprets. God liyakvod habayis hazeh is the Beis Sheni. Achren is a allusion to the third Beis HaMikdash. That the Beis Sheni was the haskala of the Beis HaShlishi period. And then the Navi Haggai says, Hinanechem Arishes Hashemayim Es Ha'oros. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the Navi, I'm going to make a nes occur during the Beis Sheni period to demonstrate that there really is a Hashuas Hashchina, but it's hidden. There's no Gilu Shchina. But the Shchina will become apparent in the period of the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be a Hemshech of the second. So the whole nes of Chanukah was prophesied in advance by the Navi Haggai. He says that that's where Rashi learns on the Pasuk in Treyosa, not Pasuk in Haggai. In Erechem Arish, Hashemayim Asoretz, referring to the Nes Chanukah, and the whole purpose of the Nes Chanukah was to demonstrate that there is Ashuas Hashchina, which will become obvious and apparent when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, and the third Beis HaMikdash will be a Hemshech of the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Hasidic Sfarim quote, that Pasuk in Tehillim, Arachti ner de Mashiachi, hadlokas ner es Chanukah, is a preparation in advance for the coming of Mashiach. Because the Nes Chanukah was in order to demonstrate that there will be a third Beis HaMikdash, at which time the Hashvas Hashchina will be obvious. And at that time, when Mashiach will come, Arachti ner de Mashiachi, so the tradition has it, the Gemara has in one place, in Sukkah, the Gemara has in the end of Sukkah, that this first is going to come on Mashiach ben Yosef, then there's going to come Mashiach ben David. In the Gemara, it's only one place. Apparently, in the Zohar, this appears many times over. And there's a Sefer Ritmai, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Goyen, all about Mashiach ben Yosef. And the Vilna Goyen is quoted as having said, he feels that this area about the concept of Mashiach ben Yosef is where he was mechadish more than any other area of Torah. And he thought that maybe he was the Mashiach ben Yosef, whatever that means. And they have many, many different mamor, and he explains many, many different passages in the Zohar based on this concept of Mashiach ben Yosef, first coming, then Mashiach ben David. So in the Haftorah of this week, of Parshas Vayigash, it speaks about the Novi Yecheskel is told to take two pieces of wood and to write on one of them the name of Yosef, to write on the other one the name of Yehuda. These are the two Mashiachim, Mashiach ben Yosef, then the Mashiach. Kach loch eitzah chodach sov alav liYehuda, v'kach eitzah chodach sov alav liYosef, eitzah fray. So the two pieces of wood, two branches, I guess, and then the Navi is supposed to hold them together. The Jewish people are split. And when Mashiach comes, then the Jewish nation will no longer be La'ichotzuad v'shem amloches. It'll be one big nation. Am Echad. There'll be unity. Like the brothers sold Yosef as an Eved. So then the day will come that there won't be kin and sinner. It won't be split among the Klal Yisrael. So the B'nai Yisoschar has a famous comment that Minig always used to be until recently that the dreidels were always made from wood. So he says, and the dreidel made from wood has a nun gimel hey shin. So we usually say neis gadol hayosham, and there it's all they make a neis gadol hayopo. They make a pay instead of a shin. So he says, the Bnei Yisoschar has that the pasuk says in Vayigash that the Yaakov Avinu sent this Yehuda shalach lefanav el Yosef lahar lefanav Goshna. So he says, the Gimel Shin Nun Hei, that's what you write on the wooden dreidel. Now they have plastic dreidels. Nobody makes wooden dreidels anymore. But he says, no, it's supposed to be a wooden dreidel. Because it says, the Shnei Eitzim. And one of them you have Yehuda, and one of them you have Yosef. Because the Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu sent Yehuda El Yosef to prepare for the Bnei Yisrael's, the Golus of Mitzrayim. Golus of Mitzrayim is going to lead up to a Geula, to a Yeshua, to the Mos HaMashiach. So he says, the reason why you write Nun Gimel Shin Hei, Hei Shin, whatever, is because of this Pasuk Goshna. Not because Neis Gadol HaYosha, He says, based on this, he says, the dreidel is supposed to represent the Haftorah of Vayigash, that Yehuda and Yosef will be joined together and there won't be any more machloikas between Bnei Yisrael. When Noach got drunk, so the Pasuk says that Shem, he had three sons, so Ham was a miserable son, and Shem and Yefes were the good children. So he said, Yapta l'kim l'yefes, v'yishkan bi'ohal l'shem. So the Gemara has a comment, Yapta l'kim l'yefes, that Yefes places emphasis on Yapyufuso shel Yefes. They place emphasis on beauty. That was the Greeks. The Greeks were, Yefes was the father of Yavon, in the Chumash, I think. B'nei Yefes gamer magag. Madai v'yavon. So Yavon, the Yavonim, were descendants from Yefes. The Greeks were known for their emphasis on beauty. Beauty is a nice thing. The Pasuk says in Eishes Chayil, so the Vilna Goyen and others interpret, a lot of boys are just looking for a good-looking girl. Beauty. So the Pasuk says, Shekhar Chayim Behevel Oyefi. If you have a girl who has Yerushan mind, Eishes Yeres Hashem Hitisalol Bechayne V'yoyfi. If the girl is good looking also, so then you praise her over the fact that she has good looks too, she has beauty. But to place all the emphasis on beauty, that's not right. That was one of the things that the Greeks insisted on, the beauty of the body, the beautiful body, and they would walk around naked about how beautiful the body is. And the Chazal were not happy about going around naked. It's an inyan of tznius. And beauty is good, but tziruf yiras Hashem, yiras Hashemayim, but just the beauty alone, that's Yafyufusa Shal Yefus. We borrow some of it. We take some of the Yafyufusa Shal Yefus, but to adopt the whole Shita, the whole Hashkafa of the Greeks, that's what the Chazal were fighting against. Rav Neria quotes a lot. He wrote many Svarim where he came as a teenager from Russia. His father was a Rav under the communists in Russia. That was difficult to preach Torah under the communists. So he came to Eretz Yisrael as a teenager. Miraculously, they allowed him to leave. And then he learned American Sarab. So he learned by Rav Kook. And he wrote many Svarim about Rav Kook. He felt that Rav Kook was very misunderstood by his contemporaries. And I once told Rav Neria, for many years, I didn't realize that Rav Kook was a Talmid Chacham. I thought he was a philosopher. I never saw a picture of Rav Kook. So I thought, why did I think he's a philosopher? Because the only ones who ever quoted Rav Kook used to be the conservative and the reformed rabbis who used to write in magazines about philosophy. So they'd always quote some Kooky idea from Rav Kook, some ridiculous idea, because he never understood what he was talking about. Rav Kook was a big Talmid Chacham. He knew. So I remember when Rav Neria wrote to many Svarim about Rav Kook. So the first sefer he gave me was about how Rav Kook observed the Yom Tov. It's called Mo'yadei Hariyah. So I remember he gave it to me before I left Eretz Yisrael. I was in Eretz Yisrael once. So I read it on the plane, and I was so stunned. The man knew all over. He knew Gemara, he knew Shulchan Aruch, he knew Zohar, he knew everything, Nigla and Ister. So I wrote him a thank you note, and I said, I never realized it was a Talmid Chacham. So he wrote me that just like Rav Kook was misunderstood, so too Rav Soloveitchik was misunderstood, and he, as a Talmud of Rav Kook, felt an obligation to set the record straight. And I, as a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik, should feel that obligation to set the record straight about Rav Soloveitchik. And he wrote, don't wait till after he passes away. It'll take years and years. He says it took him 10 years. He was writing about Rav Kook when Rav Kook was still alive. And he says it took him 10 years till he put out the first sefer. I didn't listen to him. I did not start writing about Rav Soloveitchik till after he passed away. But it's very interesting. So he quotes a lot from Rav Kook all the time. So he quotes Rav Kook commented on the lashon of the Braise from Megillas Tainis that the Gemara and Shabbos quotes, "Shenichnus Yivanim lahechol timu kol hashmanim." How is that? So he says, Rav Kook said, when they entered the hechol, yafta lekim liyafis v'yishkan ba'ol eishen. To enter the ohel, that's okay. To take in yaf yifuso shalyen. To take in, we have mathematics from the Greeks, Pythagoras. We have a lot of science from the Greeks. You have astronomy from the Greeks. You have medicine from the Greeks. Some of it is good. Some of it is ridiculous. We pick up a lot of things from the Greeks. But that's only in the Ohel. B'yishkan ba'ol eishem, in the ohel, the ohel is an open place, but people come in and go out. But in the heichol, in the inner sanctums, you're not supposed to have yefes come in, because yefes has, the Yevanim have their own system of values, and just the entering into the heichol, shenichnas Yevanim leheichol, by entering alone, they already timu kol hashmon. Even before they touched anything, because they already was metame. That's it in every generation. The Jews live in different communities, in different cultures, and they want to pick up. The Gemara says it's a nice idea to pick up the nice things that the Ummah Salam have. Chachma bagoyim tamin. They have a lot of chachma, they have a lot of nice things. And you have to should be brought in. But if you want to bring something in, you have to clear it through the Talmid HaChachamim, who know not only the letter of the law, they know the spirit of the law. What is in contradiction to the spirit of the Torah? What's not in contradiction? You have to be very careful. So that's his comment on the opening line in the Braisa. When the Yevanim already came in, it was already Timur Kol Hashmon. Before they touched anything, Toik Sheinish. It's already no good. Usually, when you have schach, when you have a sukkah, when you have an esrik, so tzukta the mitzvasa, bizman mitzvasa, after the mitzvah is up, so the Gemara said that's the difference between tashmishi gedusha and tashmishi mitzvah. If you have an old pair of tefillin, sefer Torah, mezuzah, or the mentala of the sefer Torah, or the gartla, whatever is mishamish, tashmishi gedusha, so the gedusha remains even after the mezuzah becomes possible and can be even corrected. But Tashmish and Mitzvah only retain Kedusha Bizman Mitzvah. After the Zman and Mitzvah is up, so the Loshan Abraisim Masechus Megillah is Tashmish and Mitzvah and Nizrakim, you can throw it out in the garbage. Tashmish and Kedusha and Nignozim. So strictly speaking, the Moshe Shemesh Abiner Chanukah, you should really be allowed to use it for your own personal purposes after Chanukah is over. So if we don't understand it, all the Rishonim quote from the She'iltis. The Shilta's quotes a Braisa. We don't have this Braisa in the Gemara. Shilta's quotes a Braisa that the Moshe Shemesh Abiner Chanukah, the leftover Shemen, also la Madura Bifnei Atzma, Vesorfa Bifnei Atzma. You have to make a separate Madura and burn it. So the Kevinara points out on the Gemara that somehow they treated it like Tashmishi Kedusha. We treat it as if it's Shemen in the Beis Hamikdash, as if it's part of a carbon. We treat it like Tashmishi Kedusha, but it's a pellet. Why did they decide to do like that? That's difficult. We don't have such a Gemara, but that's what the Shiltas quotes at Brisa. He must have had some other source. In Parshas Vayigash, the Pasuk says that when Yaakov finally arrived in Mitzrayim, Vayev called Savorov. So Yosef hugs his father Yaakov and is crying on his shoulders. How come it doesn't say that Yaakov is crying on Yosef's shoulders? Only Yosef is crying. So Rashi quotes a famous medrash, Rashi made it famous, that Yaakov Avinu is busy saying Kriya Shema. So how come Yosef wasn't saying Kriya Shema? So they give different interpretations. That Yosef said Kriya Shema before and Yaakov just arrived, didn't have a chance yet to say Kriya Shema, whatever. So the Rav Soloveitchik once said over the following pshat that appears in the Maharal Miprag in the Gur Aryeh, not Rashi, that we have a pasuk in Kriya Shema, you have to say Shema Kach B'chol Abavcha, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. So how is there room, if you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your whole heart, where is there room to love your spouse and to love your children? So the Chavis Salbabas raises this issue. So the Chavis Salbabas sort of answers, your love for your spouse and your children has to be a chelek of your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the spouse is religious and she helps you keep all the mitzvahs of Torah, and the children are religious and you're transmitting Torah values to the children, then a chelek of Avas Hashem is to love, to express love to the spouse and to the children. But if the spouse is not observant or the children not observant, we don't believe in unconditional love for the spouse and the children. That's exactly what the idea of Bensor Amara is all about. The Chumash writes a din of Bensor Amara. The Gemara quotes Atana, who's of the opinion of Bensor Amara, Lohoi, Velos, Elios. The conditions are so complicated, it's never going to happen. It's physically impossible because the father and the mother have to have the same height, the same weight, and the same appearance, and the same voice. Father has to have a woman's voice, or the mother has to have a man's voice. The whole thing is so far-fetched. And which normal parents are going to bring their child to the bezin to give him the death penalty? The whole thing is never going to happen. So why was it written, Rosh Mekabel Schar? So what do you mean? He's supposed to learn some Musa Haskel. What is the Musa Haskel? Now, so Soloveitchik said, maybe that's the Musa Haskel, that we don't not supposed to have unconditional love for your children. If the child is a Ben Sora Mari, he's supposed to bring him to the bezin, give him the death penalty. No one's ever going to do it. There's no chiyuv on the parents to do it, but that's why the Torah writes that parsha, that you don't have unconditional love. So that's what the Gur Arye says over here. That when Yosef, when Yaakov hadn't seen Yosef for so many years, for 22 years, and he finally sees him, so he's so overwhelmed with love for his son. He hasn't seen him. He thought he was dead. 22 years before, he thought he was dead. So he realized that he has love for his son, not as a chelik of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he realized he has to say Kriyashma. After Sashem Lekecha, not that he was davening Shachris Amayriv. He already did daven. He has a new chiyuv to say Kriyashma. After Sashem Lekecha b'chol levavcha, you're only supposed to love your children as an extension of your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why, that's what it means. Yaakov Avinu, who is overwhelmed with love for his son, realized he'd better say Kriyashma now to Chazer, to review in his mind that he's supposed to have only love for the members of the family as an aspect of the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every so often, Rav Soloveitchik would forget to bring his menorah to New York when he would come for Chanukah. So instead of buying a menorah, he didn't realize he'd sell a menorah for half a dollar. He never realized what was going on. So he would take Shabbos, he would go buy a box of candles in the store, Shabbos candles, and melt the bottom of the candle and put it on his windowsill. So I gave a shiur once that some achrayim say that Avnei Neza and a group of other achrayim say that you only yotze if you light in a kli. If you don't light in a kli, like in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to put the neiris in a kli. So obviously he didn't think so. So one of the students was once there when he was lighting the candle. He said, Rabbi Shech said that you're not yotze if you don't light in a kli. So he said, go tell Rabbi Shech that he is crazy. So the boy came to me and said, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I should tell you, you are crazy. Then he explains why I'm crazy, that there is no such thing. So there's a machlokes, many achrayim hold like that. So Rabbi Soloveitchik thought it was wrong. But they quote in the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that's good on the first night. But Rabbi Moshe thought on the second night on, if you want to be mitzaref, Moshe v'hoylech, you want to be mitzaref two candles together. If they're not in one kli, there's nothing to be mitzaref them together. He thought, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to do it even on the second night, even on the rest of the nights of Chanukah. And Moshe thinks it's right on the first night, but the rest of the nights, he thinks they're not mitzvah from Yachad, unless they're all in a kli. There's so much on Chanukah, so much. You look in the B'nai Yisoschar, has around 50, 60 pages, all Hasidus and Kabbalah and Drush. Unbelievable. There's so much. Okay. Afreelach on Chanukah to everyone. Oh, tomorrow morning I have to give shiur early, right? Because I have to leave early, about 9:15. Yeah. Then on Thursday I also have to give an early shiur because I'm going to California. Okay. Very good.
Shiur Thursday also 9:15?
Yeah, Thursday I have to give early. Very good. Got it right.
Thank you.